Welcome to episode 2 of Hitting the Streets with No No Punches. I gotta say thank you to everyone that tuned in to the pilot episode, the very first beginning, the birth of Hitting the Streets with No No Punches. So I gotta say, shout out Sage Wave, the very first special guest that I had on the show. That was fantastic to have you on. Also, shout out to Amir Browse, the radio show hosted by two of my good friends, DJ Amir and DJ Browse. Shout out to OMN, Photo Team, Melinda, Roman, all y'all, all right? But I gotta introduce my new special guest. Special guest, you wanna introduce yourself?
Oh, it's DJ Drewski.
DJ Drewski. Okay. DJ Drewski is now an alum of Oregon State. He has made it to the finish line, crossed over, ascended, all that type of stuff. It's beautiful. DJ Drewski is where all of us undergrads wants to be. He's graduated. We all want to graduate, all of us. So it's fantastic. We're going to get into our topic for the day. Our topic is the hype. I put a note in here. Hype drives the culture. If sneaker culture was a car, hype is the engine. You feel me? It gets everything going. Now, what is hype? You know, on Hitting the Streets with No No Punches, I give you the definitions, the vocabulary, or like I said, the words. So I'm going to give you the words.
Vernacular.
The vernacular. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We real sophisticated here on Hitting the Streets with No No Punches. So the definition of hype is extravagant or intense publicity or promotion. The second definition that we got was promote or publicize intensely, often exaggerating its importance or benefits. Now, key in on that part, importance or benefits, because that's going to be extremely important as we get into our conversation. The next definition of hype that we got from Urban Dictionary, because this is Hitting the Streets with No No Punches, we got to talk to the streets. All right, what's that definition, DJ Drewski?
Oh, that's to get extremely excited over something that's not exciting.
Oh, what's the example they gave us?
This one's from Jimmy. Oh my God, I got the job at McDonald's. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
Those air horns?
Absolutely. So in sneaker culture, we've gotten a lot of examples of really intense, really extreme hype for no reason. What I think of when I think of hype, the thing that I key in most vividly to is Off-White. Off-White is extremely, extremely hyped to me, maybe even overhyped. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I don't think it's, I think it's rightfully hyped.
Okay.
Because, you know, Virgil Abloh busted into the scene with that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like that wave is still riding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as far as hype goes,
right,
it's rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's still hype because
yeah,
it didn't do anything different.
Like people are really going crazy over the Off-White. Like, yo, gotta get the new Blazers,
mm-hmm,
the new Prestos, all that. And at the time, it was very different. It was very revolutionary, you know, to see like an Air Jordan 1 completely deconstructed. The swoosh is kind of hanging off. You know, we already talked about the Air Jordan 1 on the last episode, right?
Yeah.
Chicago 1s, a Jordan 1 that's all red and white, a little bit of black hints, you know, on the little wings logo, some black on the swoosh, you know, but that's just pretty much it. And the Off-White Jordan 1, at least the original colorway, mm-hmm, looks pretty much the same. The only difference is that the stitching is kind of off. I think it's like a little bit of duct tape on the back.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, when that was first announced,
yeah,
I didn't like it because it literally looked like it was taped together.
I mean, like it was. Like, that's a good point, because when I first saw them, I was like, yo, these are dope. Like, it's different. I like stuff that's just different. But I noticed a lot of the comments were saying, ah, this is buns. This isn't good. Like, what are they doing? Look like a four-year-old put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the hype train, you know, it just gets to going. They gave you a little mm-hmm teaser. It gave you a couple more leaked images.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, people are really going crazy over it. It was really wild, especially once that drop happened.
Oh my God,
bro, did you go for all those? Cause I got a story, but.
So I remember I was walking to class.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Details, send this.
Oh yeah, no. I was looking through IG,
okay,
and then I had a reminder that was going on, and I don't think,
ooh,
I got it like late in the day, and I know like it had been going on throughout the day.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to do this. I just wanted the Blazers.
Right, right.
Because Blazers are revolutionary. Those are old school, and then they really brought it back. But other than that, like I was like, I'm not trying to spend money or try to, you know, go out of my way to get these shoes that I'm not going to get for, and then have to pay resale for $1,000. So.
Man. I'm glad you talked about resale, because that's something that we're going to touch on in a little bit in our conversation. But the Blazers, the off-white Blazers were just, they look just like a normal Nike Blazer in that they still got like the same sole. They're not doing anything wild with the colors, you know, just some like simple earth tones. But they did this exaggerated swoosh.
Yeah, they did.
My story about the 10 unfortunately goes like this. Nike Off-White 10, called the 10 because they were 10 shoes designed by Virgil Abloh, Off-White. The very first release was, I think, at 8 a.m. They started releasing them every 30 minutes, all 10, every 30 minutes. My thought is like, you know what? I want the Blazers. I want the Jordan 1s. Or I want the Prestos. That's it. That's all I really want. Of course, me being a, you know, like a broke sophomore, I didn't have the money for all 10. I didn't have the money for the three that I wanted. I could afford to buy one pair. My thing is that, like, it's not possible for me to take 10 L's. So I'm going to just try, and they're going to be hard to get. I know I'm going to take some L's. So I'm going to just try to, I'm going to just try at every single one. You know, I'm going to keep trying until I hit. Jordan 1's drop, I tried, sold out instantly. Bow. And then the Prestos, bow. And then the Forces, bow. And I took 10 L's in one day. Every 30 minutes just took an L. And I was like, this is getting crazy. That's the only time I ever really got frustrated by a sneaker release.
Really?
Okay, I mean, of course, as a sneakerhead, you run into disappointment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I felt my share of pain. Of hurt. Oh,
I feel you.
Especially by the top three Jordan 1s. The top three, for those listening, is a colorway that is a little too complicated to describe on air. Let me just say it's asymmetrical, and it's red, white, black, and blue. Look it up. I encourage you to, because it's pretty dope. Anyway, that one, that's the one that really hurt me, that cut me deep. Mm. So much so I paid resale for them.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, you know, I got a little help with that. It was around some holiday. I don't think it was like Christmas or maybe it was my birthday. It was one of those. So, you know, I had a little change slid to me by a family member. You feel me? But yeah, that's the L that really hurt me. That one in the freaking 10, man. That experience was some buns. I didn't like it.
Shoot, you bounce back.
Hey, man, I still try. It hasn't killed my dreams. But I really want to know about your experiences with hype. You know, we talked a little bit about Off-White, but like what was the time that you were really anticipating a shoe that you didn't get? Because Drewski here really walked in today with some very hyped shoes. He didn't walk in with one pair. He walked in with two pairs. Different shoes on different feet. You feel me? Like, hey, he knows what he's doing. So I really want to know what was the shoe you were really hyped for, because you got all the stuff that I was hyped for.
Man, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I'm into is like the older stuff.
Oh, okay, tell me more.
But like what I got on right now, I got the shoes I got are from 2001.
Wow.
And I wanted those shoes specifically from that year because of the little things. The back of the heel is different, the really toe box is different.
Okay.
So I mean, if you look for those little things, you might save money in the long run.
Definitely.
You might be more comfortable in the long run. So that's what I'm looking for. I think everyone goes through phases of hype. Yeah. But that wears off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially when your bank account says otherwise. But one shoe that hurt me very badly was actually recently the Rookie of the Years.
Rookie of the, which ones were those?
They're like brown and white.
It's kind of like a wheat color. If you're familiar with like classic Timberlands, it's pretty much like the same material that we got going on here.
A lot of suede.
Yeah, a lot of suede on the shoe. Pretty much exactly like our Chicago, but it's pretty much that exact same deal going on, but like with this like Timberland suede.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that hype because a lot of like comments on IG and stuff, like they were just like, oh my God, this is the greatest shoe ever. Or, oh my God, like what is Nike doing?
Right.
Which is also another part of hype, because it'll definitely make a decision for you if if other people like it or not. I didn't care. I wanted the shoes. And so I went to the Nike employee store for the first time ever, and I was like, man, I'm about to get these shoes on release day. It's gonna, you know, this is gonna be a breeze.
Okay.
And
gonna
then
be a breeze.
I went there, I talked to the employees. They're like, nah, those are all for the employees. Dang. But if you come here tomorrow, we're going to have some, you know, in size 14 and 15.
Okay.
And I was
okay.
like, oh, well, bet, because that's my size. And they just gave me this look like, man, those are for us too. But so I took that L. I didn't go back the next day.
I feel it.
You know, if you look online now, they're kind of sitting. I'm not worried.
Okay. Oh, you still gonna pick them up?
One of these days.
Okay.
Yeah, I got other stuff in the works, but...
I feel you, I feel you. One shoe that I'm pretty excited for are these Jordan 6 cow fur.
Those are nice.
Yeah, it's like they're these like Jordan 6s. They're snake print and cow fur.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're stepping it up.
Oh, these Johns look sophisticated, right?
Very sophisticated.
This is not a shoe that you take to McDonald's. You take this shoe to Ruth Chris. You gotta really splurge. This is looking elegant. This shoe said, "Where my mink?
Where my mink?
Where's my mink at?"
Stupid.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, enough of these bougie personified shoes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our stories about hype. I think they have one thing in common. We wanted them, couldn't get them. Disappointment. And that disappointment can come from many, many different places. Scarcity relates very, very closely with hype, because we can see a pattern that not a lot of the shoes that are hyped up are ever general releases. So shoes that are made in very large available quantities, right? People want the things that other people can't have. They want to flex. They want to be different. They want to be like, okay, I got this and you don't. That can have a lot of very interesting effects on sneaker culture, be it positive or negative. So what do you think about the idea of scarcity and how it affects the culture?
I think another word that goes along with that that's kind of synonymous is exclusivity.
Exclusivity, right?
It can be not necessarily good, but I think it's what drives the culture.
Right.
And I don't think that, you know, the culture is not inherently good or bad. I think it's good because it keeps it going. And, you know, when you do take that dub, it feels really good.
It definitely does.
It just sucks when you take that L on the other side of that. I think it's bad because it kind of makes things not exactly toxic, but it makes it so people are into things for the wrong reasons. If you look at other subcultures, people do it because they love it.
Right,
and
right.
For something that's based around money, like sneakers, you love it if you have the money to drop on it.
Right,
right. Because then you can stunt on people. But if you don't and you're trying to get into the culture, it's an exclusive culture. You just can't get into it unless you have money.
Yeah, it puts that barrier of entry very high. I think for me, there was definitely a time where I didn't have the money to get into the sneaker culture, right?
Mm.
It's almost, in a sense, kind of like investing, where it's like once you have enough money to buy a really nice pair of kicks, really, once you have the money to buy two pairs of really nice kicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can flip one, get more money, and then buy right. shoes with the money you flipped, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're never able to like get that one exclusive drop, then it's really hard for you to do that if you never have. Because I know people who like, they only had enough money to buy one pair of, you know, really nice Yeezys, right? They flipped those Yeezys for like $600-$700.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then they went and bought another pair, you know, bought one pair they wanted, another pair they didn't, flipped that pair they didn't. That's how they got into it, you know? So they never really had to drop hundreds of dollars, you know? They were smart about it. I was not so smart about it. I was like, yo, like, why would they flip shoes? Like, yo, I'm just going to buy this stuff I want to wear.
Right. And that is dangerous, and that's why I personally I'm not in the resale game.
Yeah,
is because you have to be like a meteorologist around right. sneakers, because yeah. you really don't know if things are they're gonna go up in price or they're gonna go down. Because I don't think I shared this story with you. I may have, but
okay, yeah, tell me. Share the story with our listeners.
Yeah, so this is actually a cautionary tale.
Okay.
So there's this shoe called the Jordan Hare, because you know when they did the Bugs Bunny collab
thing. Yeah.
And this dude, I guess he had the connection to buy these shoes, and he thought they were going to be hype. So he bought a whole truckload of these shoes so he could flip them. And they sat there in his driveway for probably, they're still probably sitting there now.
Dang.
So don't put all your eggs in one basket, because, yeah.
Like, how often, especially if you're like tuned into like sneakerhead culture, how often have we seen photos of people sitting on an entire chair made of like Yeezy boxes, you know? Man, what I mean?
Yeah,
or like people who they go to the mall and they walk out like 6-7 bags of J's, right? I think it's really unfortunate how a lot of those backdoor deals happen, just because there are times when I've went to the mall really trying to get a certain pair, and like, oh yeah, sorry dog, this one dude bought like 8 or 9 pairs, and it's like, this dude ain't got like 8 or 9 feet. I know that for sure. So like, come on, bro. Like when you're flipping it like that, I think it's selfish, and I think that is destructive. And we're not gonna bag on resellers today, because you know what? It's Chase a Bag 2019. You know, you get in your bag. Mm-hmm. I'ma get my bag, you get your bag, okay? But I think that it can be positive in some ways, because there have been times that I've really, really wanted a shoe, and I've gone on like Flight Club or StockX, right, or Grailed, and they have that exact pair that I want at a reasonable price. Maybe at like $30 like charge, but
that's worth it.
Exactly, like
for the convenience, it's worth it.
I wasn't able to get the shoe. You were, you're doing me a service, because had you not been here to buy it when I didn't buy it, someone else who really wanted it would have bought it. Interesting when you think of it like that.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on the resale market, I guess? Yeah.
It's kind of just echoing what we've been talking about before. Like, it's cool if you have money. It's kind of like having a safety net.
Right.
Like, if you don't get the shoe, or the resale game is kind of stratifying the community.
Right, right.
Because it's like, we're at a point in sneaker culture where people are less willing to pay resale pricing. They don't want to pay for that. So they're either going to get the shoe or they're not, or they're just going to camp for the deals. Which is something I do. Those deals keep coming more and more.
That's absolutely true. A good example of a group that's often targeted as simultaneously the most reliable, but also the most frustrating. That's Flight Club. The thing about Flight Club is that I've never, ever heard of someone getting fakes from Flight Club.
I haven't heard that either.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you go on Flight Club, you know what you're getting is legit. But the thing is that that reputation really starts to tax. We had the interns pull up the Flight Club page and look at the Adidas 750 Boost. Now, I forget how much these originally retailed for. We're going to tentatively say retailed for $300. They're now selling on Flight Club size 10 for $2,240.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's do some quick maths. That is a 746% upcharge.
That's crazy.
746%. That's very significant. It definitely isn't like that for other shoes. Usually we're gonna get like a 20-30%.
But I think shoes like that are special because they kind of mark an era in the culture.
Okay.
Because even though like Kanye switched to Adidas and all that, there were a retired sneaker, and I'm assuming those are new, not used.
Yeah, that's true. That's another key point.
But I think Flight Club specifically, it's for such a small specific clientele. The 750s specifically, like, you'd have to be like a collector or something to want it like new in bought. This is 2019.
Yeah.
This came out in 2015.
Like, yeah, that's 4 years ago.
If you didn't get them 4 years ago, like, I don't know what to tell you. Either you really like the shoes, because I really love those shoes.
Oh, I do also.
Or like, you're just doing it for the hype, and the hype train has sailed on those.
That's a really interesting point that you brought about the hype train, right? Sage Wave and I talked on the pilot episode about how some people in Corvallis, right? Some people in Corvallis will buy these crazy, really extravagant shoes that you know ran them a really pretty penny, that honestly don't look that flashy or that significant, right? So they're flexing for a very small, very specific group. There's the off chance that they want them, but you know, if someone's wearing like a MoMA Off-White Air Force One, those are at least 2 racks, at least 2K. And the thing is, when we see those, we recognize what they are,
right?
The average person walking, you know, through the campus is not going to have any idea what they're wearing. They're so basic looking that they can't distinguish, you know, that from like a normal just black Air Force One.
Right.
So I fill you with the hype train. The things that most people, I think, are going to recognize, you know, are like they're gonna recognize your off whites or maybe even your OG colorways, you know, like. Right. I feel like a lot of just general sneakerheads are gonna know it's like a Chicago or a playoff
or bread,
right? When you start to get into the like more obscure colorways.
This isn't really off topic, but like hype is also going into not new territory, but it's more prominent now with the Big Ten. A lot of rappers now, because you see like all these rappers rocking the off-white Jordan 1s, and like they're always on stage with those. Like it wasn't, I don't know, nothing's been as big as that lately.
True.
And you know, Travis Scott got his whole line coming out.
Yeah.
And that's crazy too.
Actually, this is just an aside. I saw Travis in concert around a month ago, actually.
Oh, damn.
Almost a month to this day. And he was wearing some unreleased Travis Scott X Jordan collabs. Mm. He was wearing the ones, which a lot of people don't like them because they're this like a, it was like this doo-doo brown.
Yeah.
Doo-doo brown color with just like a backwards Nike swoosh. I personally think they're very cool. I know a lot of other folks probably will disagree with me.
I kind of disagree. I just don't like that backwards swoosh.
Too different?
It just looks, I guess, like when everyone's going one way, it's hard to go the other way, and that's literally like a metaphor for that.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't just turn the swoosh around.
You can't just turn the swoosh around. That's the quote of this episode. Remember that in your life. Some people are going to want you to turn your swoosh around, but you can't. You can't just turn the swoosh around. I think, and this is something that's not just exclusive to sneakers, but it seems nowadays that some people are contrarian, or some people like to go against the grain for the sake of just being different.
I agree.
And it's gotten to the point to where being different is mainstream. So now some people are just being mainstream and conventional just so that they don't have to be different in the way that other people are different. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I understand what you're saying. And that's definitely a thing that's happening right now. And personally, I think that's corny. but it's especially here.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, like Portland and stuff. Because, I mean, you guys got that motto.
Yeah.
It really is just being different for the sake of being different.
Yeah.
And not just doing your own thing.
Well, I mean, it's like that whole, it's kind of like the whole like hipster trend, right? Remember when hipsters were just hipsters because like they just want to be different, you know?
Yeah.
And then everybody wanted to be a hipster. So then you were different if you weren't a hipster.
Right. Well, know? I mean,
it's like that whole thing.
It's a little different because like being a hipster is like, and I'm a little bit of a hipster myself in the sense that
ain't no wrong being a hipster.
No, I just don't like, you know, when I like something and then when, you know, the hype train comes back and everyone's like, oh, this is dope. And I'm like, no,
like when you liked it before it was cool,
bruh, like this whole anime wave going on.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I was here before you, bro. Like, pick your own thing.
You know what one really hurt me though?
What's that?
Mo Bamba, bro. Like,
Mo Bamba.
Like, yo, here's the thing. I'm not going to be like one of those like, yo, I liked it before it was cool. But like, I listened to Mo Bamba in like 2017, dog. Like,
hey.
Like early 2017. You know, I'm not going to like lie and say I was a Sheck West fan. Because I wasn't. But like, you know.
Yeah.
I just hear people like Sicko Mode and Mo Bamba. But it's like, hey, bro, have you listened to Rodeo? No.
Yeah. I mean, be proud of that. It's just, you know, you don't want to like alienate people.
Oh, absolutely.
With that sort of mentality. But like, I don't know. Like, I think everyone should feel that way. Be proud of doing it first.
Speaking of doing it first, right? It's like the first real large brand to kind of start this. To start the sneaker hype train, right, was really like Jordan Brand.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like we're starting to see, you know, trends again, right? I think a lot of people are kind of starting to step away from Jordan Brand because it's had that reputation of being like really hyped, you know, really exclusive. I think people don't really like that anymore. I feel like people are kind of getting tired of that. You're like, oh, Jordan Brand is stale, man. Jordan Brand, they're always just doing the same thing. Jordan Brand this, Jordan Brand that.
I personally haven't heard anything from that. I will say earlier this month marked an anniversary of when Kanye first wore the Jordan 1 Breads fashion runway.
Wow.
And
an iconic moment, truly.
Right. And it I wasn't there for that I wasn't in the sneaker game at that time.
Right.
But when you really step back and take a look at that moment, that's when sneakers became a thing, because everyone's wearing all this designer and he showed up in ripped jeans and Jordans, and that made it okay for everyone to wear Jordans. And I guess to bring it back, I don't think Jordans, or I don't think Nike will ever be over with.
Right, of course.
But I think it's important moments like that that will always sustain sneaker culture. And if you just look around, there will be a moment probably pretty soon, or probably that just happened, that will have, kept sneakers alive.
Okay, so it's interesting that you brought up Kanye, because this episode today is about hype, and no celebrity or artist, I think, has had as much influence in sneaker culture and bringing that sneaker hype as Kanye West. If we're really going to get into this conversation, right? West has single-handedly put Adidas on his back. Adidas, I would say, is relevant in 2019 because of Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, what do you think about Kanye's influence on hype, on fashion, specifically sneakers, but really in all types of fashion? We could even get into music if you want.
Oh man, I mean, as far as sneakers, and I mean even fashion and all that, he's the epitome of hype. No one else has done it like him. I'm kind of a Kanye fan, but I'm not a stan.
Oh, okay, you know? Okay. Yeah. We fans, not stands.
Yeah.
Fan, not stand 2019 is the motto.
So, I mean, when he was on Jordan, or when he was on Nike and all that, that stuff was cool. And especially because before he was with a team like Adidas, before he was, he's not sponsored. He's an actual partner.
Yeah.
He could wear whatever he want. He was a Louis Vuitton Don. He was all about that Saint Laurent.
Okay.
He was a sophisticated dude. And all of his trips to France and all that.
Right.
It made him a certain kind of person, and it's something that people could resonate more with. And now he's on that dad wave, which is, that's a whole nother thing. And so it really blew up with, they had the first Yeezy. I don't know enough about the sneaker culture around that shoe, how it changed the game.
So when you say the first Yeezy, because Kanye has had a long history in sneakers. Are you talking about the Louis Yeezy?
No.
Or the Nike Yeezy?
I'm talking about the Nike.
Yeezy. Okay.
He had the Jasper, the Louis Vuitton Yeezy. Those things, they go hard, but you got to have a certain fit for those.
Right.
You can't just pull out pink, brown, and gray and call it a day. And he did his thing with Bape.
Wait, hold up. Pink, brown, and gray and call it a day?
Yes,
is that
sir.
A bar?
Hey.
Okay.
You know what it is.
Hey. All right, but keep it going.
Yeah, and he did his thing with Bape, when he with the Teriyaki Boys and Nigo. Yeah, and Pharrell, he put out his own. They weren't Air Forces, but they were Bapestas.
Right.
We getting into the real, nitty-gritty of sneaker culture.
Right, the way back.
Yeah. But yeah, so we did the Nike Yeezy ones. And then when he did the twos, he had the Solar and Platinums. But, it was a special day when the Red Octobers came out.
Oh, hold up. I know we've been really firing off names. We've been really talking on
We have.
On some high level sneaker culture, but
yeah, sorry about that.
No, this is fine. I feel like we have to give it to the masses the way we know how to. You feel me?
All right.
That's the point of hitting the streets with no punches, is we're bringing sneaker culture to you. All right. You can go get sneaker culture wherever you want it, but if you want it real, how we really talk about it, hitting the streets with no punches is where you need to go. But we're going to take the time to slow down and do a dissection of the Red October, okay? Because this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So the Red October Yeezy 2. I don't even know where to start, man. Okay, so we have a sole that's similar to a Jordan 3 in the back, but not really in the front, right?
Oh, that's the Nike
what is it? Tell
Trainer
me.
2, I think.
Okay.
I don't know the full name. It's a long name, but
yeah.
That's from a different shoe. But I think the rest of the shoe is his own design.
Yeah, there's a lot of Kanye really played with a lot of different materials, right? So on like the toe box, we have like a red type of suede. Above that, we have like some netting. We have a plastic strap over like the mid part of your foot. There's this like hard plastic diamond pattern that he has going that's almost kind of like scales. Yeah. And then there's like this rib kind of thing poking out, kind of like a spine, like this like alien monster spine type of thing coming out the back.
I like that.
Kanye West did something wild with these. And and mind you, the entire shoe is all red, something that you almost never really see on sneakers, something you definitely didn't really see before.
Well, and those were did change the game because
absolutely
those were what, 2014?
I think
they were 2014, but those really changed the game because it made other companies believe, hey, single tones work. You can
monotone is crazy.
Yeah, it made it okay to wear all red shoes.
I mean, and the thing is that like it's something that you see not even with shoes, you know, just like the monochrome outfits, you know, that people put together, the monochrome sneakers. Kanye West, I mean, not to say that he invented monochrome, because we all know he definitely didn't, but he was definitely an icon and an inspiration for a lot of the monochrome shoes that you see coming out now. Specifically, like the Off-Whites is a very good example of monochrome. A lot of the new Off-White 10 have been monochrome colorways.
Right, all the new stuff, not the original.
Oh yeah, definitely not the original.
Right, and like Virgil made it a little different, because you always start with the white laces.
Right.
But you always get the pack where it comes with like neon orange and neon green.
Right.
Just to, you know, have that
switch it up.
The whole thing that Virgil's going for now is like a certain color, but then it'll like switch it up with those different laces to make it like, I don't know, kind of off-putting to me, but like that's what he's going for.
I think Virgil Abloh is, in my opinion, a great example of color blocking.
Yeah.
The way he puts colors together, I think, is fantastic. Like how he did this kind of like earth tone with like a bright pink and like a bright blue, you know, almost like these like pastel colors.
Yeah.
It's very, very different. He approaches it, I think, in a different way.
Right.
But then again, him and Kanye, like, they grew up together.
Yeah, and just like the other day, he posted some pic of like you know, like the 10-year challenge or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like on the corner, and he had like the bright red, what are they called, Ray-Bans, and like had this whole fit that's really telling of like it's like the same kind of style that he has now. It's just no one paid attention to him, and he had a quote that was like, yeah, it's crazy, or this pig is crazy, because at the time I couldn't even get into a Louis V like fashion show.
Right.
Yeah,
bro. I know you guys can't see this picture, of course, because this is the podcast, but there's this picture of Kanye West and like Virgil and a bunch of other folks, and they're in these just like wild wacky outfits that would be so on trend today.
I don't know.
Some it's very bold. Some of these outfits are like, I feel like if I saw someone walking down the street, maybe not wearing it styled exactly how they are, but wearing some of these pieces, I'd be like, okay, they're different.
I just assume they got money, because if you can afford to dress like that, hey.
Facts. That's facts, no printer.
Facts, no printer.
Absolutely. Yeah, dress like some like futuristic supervillains.
Man, it's crazy how right that is.
You just look up like Virgil Abloh, Kanye West picture, Paris Fashion Week, and you'll know exactly what it'll pop up. They're all standing there like the sinister Fashion Six.
Oh man,
they got their fashion house briefcases.
You're really not wrong.
Yeah,
they really look like that.
You know, we've really gone on a lot of tangents, but you know, we got to bring it back. We got to circle it back around so we can close out very nicely. All I have left to say is that hype has been a mainstay and a solidly defining factor in sneaker culture. It's done a lot of good, it's done a lot of bad, but it has been a constant. And I think where the sneaker culture moves next depends on where the hype is placed next. But I also think that as consumers, we have to be aware of how, not so much our excitement, right? But how we, the way that we vocalize that excitement, I think has definite consequences that can be positive or negative. Drewski, what's your closing statement?
Oh man, My closing statement is people out here in Corvallis, I think they're doing it all right. I think when I first came to the university, I was on something else, and I could see other people were on something else too. But I think we've toned it down, and I think the hype is kind of in check. I'm hopeful that this community is going in the right direction.
Fantastic. This has been a fantastic second episode of Hitting the Streets with No Punches. If you tuned in, which you did, if you're hearing me talk, right? I'm so grateful that you've taken the time out of your day to make me and DJ Drewski a part of your day. Next episode coming, and thank you. This has been a great ride. Have a great day.